In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Around the year 530, the great father of Western monasticism, Saint Benedict of Nursia, wrote his famous rule to guide those who wanted to dedicate their lives to the Lord through a monastic way of living. Not only has the rule of Saint Benedict influenced Western monasticism, but also the lives of many Christians for 1,500 years, who have allowed the tenets and the guidance of the rule to shape their spiritual lives and their Christian way of living in the ways of simplicity, humility, and above all, by a love for prayer and a love for the sacred liturgy of the Church. The rule of Saint Benedict still guides the many Benedictine monasteries and abbeys that are all throughout the world, as well as the lives of many Christians who seek to live by its principles, which are founded and based upon the law of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The very first words of the rule of Saint Benedict that he says to his monks are as follows: "Listen, my son, to your master's precepts and incline the ear of your heart. Receive willingly and carry out effectively your loving father's advice, that by the labor of obedience you may return to him from whom you had departed by the sloth of disobedience. To you, therefore, my words are now addressed, whoever you may be, who are renouncing your own will to do battle under the Lord Jesus Christ, the true King, and are taking up the strong, bright weapons of obedience." End quote. The readings that we have this weekend carry the theme of the very first words of Saint Benedict's rule, namely that of obedience and of remaining faithful and diligent to the commands of the good God. For it is in exercising obedience to God and being faithful and diligent to his commandments that he has given to us that we show our love for Jesus Christ, who was obedient unto death, even death on a cross. In our current day and age, we see disobedience running rampant, disobedience taking place in a variety of ways on so many levels, disobedience to just civil laws, people living contrary to the natural law, living contrary to the laws of the Church, living contrary to the moral law and to the divine law. This creates chaos, disorder, dysfunction, and confusion. And we see it all around us in some way, shape, or form. Obviously, our own laws must be just and in true conformity with the natural law, and they must not oppose the divine law. And we know that we do not have to be obedient to that which is tyrannical. We know that there is in existence unjust laws, such as the right to have an abortion, or certain mandates for certain things which are truly unjust and violate people's consciences. But we do have just laws and many good rules that are for us to keep in order to keep order and to help us to live good, orderly, virtuous lives. But we know that all too often these just laws and these rules can be broken and justice must be served. The readings this weekend focus on the importance of following and being faithful to the commandments and the laws of Almighty God, not for their own sake, but rather for the sake of loving God through our observance of such laws by living virtuous and upright lives out of love for Him. In our first reading this weekend, we hear these words from the book of Sirach: "If you choose, you can keep the commandments, they will save you. If you trust in God, you too shall live." We see in this verse from Sirach the expression that if we trust in the goodness of God, in his loving fatherly providence, then we will keep his commandments. And if we do so, we will live for eternity in heaven with him. And we indeed show that trust in him by keeping the commandments he has given to us. Obedience to God is a beautiful thing because obedience is opposed to sin. And sin is the disobedience to God's law, which thereby alienates us from him and hurts and can even destroy our relationship with him. In the Old Testament, we see the many purity and sacrificial laws and the juridical observances that were given by God through Moses. In our gospel this weekend, in keeping consonant and congruency with the old law, even though much of the rituals and the juridical observances would be nullified and abrogated by our Lord, Christ gives new laws. The law of love, the law of grace. Laws that fulfill what was prefigured and foreshadowed in the old law and are established as a part of the new covenant, which will be ratified in the very blood of Jesus Christ. In the gospel this weekend, we continue to hear the very bold and very pointed teaching of Jesus in Matthew chapter 5, which is called the Sermon on the Mount, which we've heard from the last couple of weekends. Just as Moses was the lawgiver of the old covenant, so Christ goes up the mountain and takes his place as the new Moses, the giver of the new covenant, not abolishing the Mosaic law, but rather fulfilling it. For example, the sacrifices of the blood of animals in the old covenant were fulfilled by Christ, by his one death upon the cross for our salvation. Our Lord tells us, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I come not to abolish, but to fulfill." We see this expressed in the verses that follow, as our Lord adds new dimensions to this new law. First saying, "You have heard it said, you shall not kill. But I say to you, whoever is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment." Therefore, unjust personal anger, especially rash anger and slander, are violations of this new law that Christ gives, those words that he speaks. Our Lord then continues, adding another new dimension to the laws. He says, "You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you, everyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. It is from the heart of man from whence evil comes. And it is also from with the heart of man that the Holy Spirit desires to dwell, to remain, to help us to live in accordance with how God wants us to, with what we were made to do, and living in accordance with God's laws, so that we can grow in deeper love with him and spend eternity with him." Following all of this, our Lord, speaking in reference to the teaching on impurity, gives a very black and white and pointed declaration. He uses a figurative overstatement in order to emphasize the destructive nature of sin, especially the sins of the flesh. Our Lord says, "If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. If your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than to have your whole body thrown into Gehenna, that is, into the everlasting fires of hell." Now, obviously, our Lord is not counseling self-annihilation. He's not telling us to pluck out our eyes or to cut off our appendages. It's not what he is counseling. But rather, he is using this bold imagery in order to teach us of the importance of detachment and avoidance of that which leads us to sin, especially grave mortal sin, of avoiding those things which harm and can destroy our relationship with Almighty God. That is what Christ is warning us and guarding us against. When we become worshipers of materialistic things, of bodily pleasure, we cease to become worshipers of God. And instead we turn towards self-homage and self-worship, or worse, the worship of evil itself. And we see this blatantly thrown in our faces in our society today. For example, last weekend with the Grammy Awards. I don't know if you heard about this, but there was a very prominent musical artist who dressed up as the devil himself, along with another prominent musical artist. And they did a very carnal, sensual dance and sung a song that was literally called Unholy, which is a total mockery of God, a mockery of religion, and the glorification of evil. And people clapped and they rejoiced at this performance, and it even won an award. This is the type of nonsense and blatant evil that is being thrown in our faces, ladies and gentlemen. And it's high time that we started fighting back against this nonsense and stop living so complacently and mediocrely as Catholics. We need to be on fire with the faith so that we can give witness to Christ and to his church for the sake of the salvation of souls, so that we can live in eternity with him forever. That's what it's all about. But this stuff is going to continue to be blatantly thrown in our faces, brothers and sisters, by our culture and by our society. And if you're a parent, especially of small children, I urge you and counsel you to be very attentive to the things that your children watch and listen to. Because evil is after your children, and you must be attentive to these things, brothers and sisters. Because you will have to answer for it at the judgment. You will have to answer it. And please, I counsel you, do not watch the Super Bowl halftime show this year. Do not watch the Super Bowl halftime show this year. I guarantee you it's going to be filth and garbage. I guarantee you. Why can't we get someone like George Strait to do the Super Bowl halftime show, honestly? You know what I'm saying? Honestly. Why can't we get someone like him? At least people will be clothed, for Pete's sake. Good grief. Okay, where am I going? All right. So, what is the eye or the right hand that causes you to sin? It leads you to sin. It harms your relationship with the good God who loves you. What needs to be cut out of your life or out of the life of your children that prevents you or them from having a healthy, happy, holy relationship with God? Perhaps you have an acquaintance or even a friend or maybe even a group of friends that oftentimes lead you to make not so good of choices, to make sinful choices in your life. How must that relationship or those relationships change in your life? And should they be distanced from you? Is there a struggle, perhaps, with turning towards illicit means of escapism, such as the abuse of alcohol or drug use, instead of turning towards healthier habits like prayer, coming to church on a consistent basis, or even exercise or surrounding yourselves with good friends? Perhaps pornography or sexual immorality is an issue in your life, and an issue that needs to be torn out and thrown away, as it were. Which steps, including the good use of the sacraments, especially the sacrament of the Lord's mercy, that of confession, need to be taken up in order to be freed from those sins, to be freed from the shackles of the slavery to such sins? Are there areas of the moral law, of the divine law, or the laws of the church that may be a struggle for you? How can we live out these laws and these rules in such a way that our observance and obedience to them are an expression of love for Christ, as opposed to just empty gestures and just things that we have to do? You know, the Catholic Church is often accused of, oh, y'all have too many rules and laws and everything. It's all about rules, rules, rules that you have to follow. Well, let me ask you this. When you drive along the highway and you see a guardrail, or you're driving down the road and you come to a stop sign, or you come to a stoplight or something like that, you stop and say, they're trying to take away my freedom. Rules, rules, rules. No, it would be absurd to say, because we know that these things are in place for us to keep us safe, to live good, orderly lives in the natural sense. All the more important it is for us to follow and to embrace and to love the laws that God has given to us, so we may live good, upright, and holy lives that he calls us to. Our Lord desires our freedom. Following the laws of God gives us true freedom. Our Lord desires our union with him, because only union with him and him alone will fulfill every one of our desires. Our desires, as it were, are infinite. Therefore, only an infinite being could fulfill those desires. And that infinite being is the God who loves us. Brothers and sisters, as the Lenten season approaches, let us take this next week and a half to determine to pray about what those eyes and those right hands are that cause us, that lead us to sin. And let us resolve to take on those vices during the Lenten season through our works of penance and our prayer. And let us seek to work to overcome all of them. We have the greatest ally in fighting the good fight, brothers and sisters, and his name is Jesus Christ. Let us not be afraid, but alongside Our Lady, our mother who loves us so much, and alongside Saint Joseph, our spiritual father, and of all the saints, let us indeed Place complete confidence and trust and faith in Almighty God. And let us keep in mind those beautiful words that St. Paul speaks to us today. We heard in our second reading as he said, "What eye has not seen and ear has not heard, what has not entered the human heart, what God has prepared for those who love him." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.